Well, that's who we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, is the person of the Holy Spirit, and not just from a theological, informational point of view, but so that we can relate to Him and so that He can be a part of our life in a greater and more powerful way. Now, I believe that in the last few weeks, as we've been talking about seeking God, putting Him first, about following God's plan and purpose for your life, how many of you at one of those churches, God did something in your heart, He spoke to you, amen? There was some type of a stirring in your heart. Well, how do we follow God's plan? How do we pursue His highest and His best? Is it kind of just up to us, and that He kind of shows us the way, and then we really try to work very hard, and we do it in our own strength? Or is Christianity something different? Is there a power? Is there a grace? Is there ability that helps us to get where God wants us to go in life and to become who He's always designed us to be? Now, to follow God and to experience His highest and His best, and for Him to change and to transform our life, one of the things that we do in life is we discover more and more who God is and what He does. There's a song that we sing at this church that we declare, "You're my healer." You know the song we sing, "Jesus, you're my healer." And from the Word of God in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and who Jesus is today, we discover that He Himself bore our sicknesses and carried away our diseases. Aren't you glad He's a healer? Now, there was a time in my life where I knew about God and I knew about Jesus, and I knew Him to be Savior. I knew that if I trusted in Him, He could get me to heaven. But I didn't know that I could trust Him if my body was sick. I didn't know that He would do miracles in my life. And I came to know Him as healer. Now, here's the thing. It's kind of a scary thing about God is that if you just know a small part about God, He'll be just a small part to you. There's a certain element of the body of Christ that believes that God will save them and forgive them. But they believe that Jesus, the healer, the great I am, is the I was. He used to be a healer when He walked this earth. But today, He no longer is. And so, if you have a sickness or a disease, then if the doctors can fix it, great. If they can't, then you're just stuck. But how many of you know He was, and He is, and He will be? He is the I am. Now, God made a life for us and a plan for us that is only realized and only happens when we're connected to Him, when it's Him and us together. And so when Jesus came to the earth, He began to change the way we relate to God. And it was no longer through the law, it was no longer through our efforts, but He came to give us His life. Now, one of the things that Jesus did is when He came and walked among us, He began to make a promise, and He began to speak of a person called the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were a disciple of Jesus, if you were among the 12, this was not a new person to you. The Spirit of God had worked in the Old Testament, and He had been seen and known, but the way He was going to work was going to radically change in the life of a New Testament believer. And so Jesus made a statement in John 14, and He referred to the Holy Spirit, and he called Him a name. And how many of you know God has many names? Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Tsidkenu, right, our righteousness. All right. And so in God's names reveals who He is, but also what He does. All right. And so when we understand what He does, then we can expect Him to do those things in our life. And in John 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And I want us to take some time over the next few weeks to look at that name that God gave, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, and that is that He is our helper. He's our helper. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to see, well, in what ways does He help? How does He help? What is our involvement in that process? All right. But the fact is, Jesus promised a helper. Now, the fact is, God would not send us a helper if He didn't know we needed help. Amen? I don't know if maybe in growing up, or maybe on a job or something like that, where someone has kind of told you, hey, I'm giving you someone to help you. I believe they're going to be a help to you. That was a very polite way of them telling you, you are inadequate. You are not getting the job done. Right? Because if you were complete in you, then we wouldn't need a helper, right? We wouldn't need someone to assist or to aid or to come alongside of us. And that is exactly who the Holy Spirit is. Now, here's the problem, I think, in 2012, is that mankind, it seems like we are becoming more and more and more capable. There are more things that we've figured out in life. I mean, just think about this. Right now, probably 80% of you, in your pocket, you've got a cell phone, right? But a lot of you have what they call a smartphone. If you can't be smart, have a smartphone, right? But you know what that means? It means that you can push this app, and you can be in contact right now with friends that are in the UK, South Africa, Botswana, right? You can post something, and right away, they know what's going on. In fact, there are times where people will do that in church. You know, I check Facebook here and there, and there's somebody that'll be like, oh man, church is hot right now. Oh man, it's fun. Right in the, just. Now think about this. Those of us that have been around, 20 years ago, we would have never, in our wildest dreams, thought that that's possible. I mean, it's crazy. Think about how people travel the world now. And it used to be that you could walk, you could get an animal that was faster than you or stronger than you that could take you somewhere. And then we could get on a boat and we could go between continents. But now people just fly here and there. Sometimes people in the church, I'll call them on their phone and I'll say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm in Nairobi. I'm roaming. Well, they didn't walk there. They didn't hike there. They just flew there, and they were there within hours. Now here's the thing. How did we do all this stuff? Man figured this out, didn't we? We invented smartphones. We invented planes. A number of years, we've been flying back and forth, to Africa for the last 20 years. And we used to always have to stop and get fuel here and there. But now there are planes that can fly 24 hours in the air. The engines are getting that efficient. It's awesome. It's cool. It's fun, right? And the amount of the intelligence that we have, right? Halfway across the continent. Most of you know Chipolopolo 1, right? But how did you know? You weren't there. Nobody called you. You just checked. Boom, you found out, right? I taped it, or I PVR'd it. Pushed the red button this afternoon. And it's even better. You know who wins. It's going to be even more enjoyable. Okay. But this was impossible years ago. You know, the people tell us, you know, there are some of the seven wonders of the world. We've got one, right? Victoria Falls. Now, those are what they're called, the natural wonders of the world. That is, we didn't do it. God did it. The Creator did it. But then there's the seven man-made wonders of the world. I don't know all of them, but they're crazy. They're the ancient world, the modern world. And so, but here's the problem. As we do more, man keeps moving God away. No. We've got better government. We don't need you. We'll rely on the government to fix all of our problems. We've got supercomputers. We'll process it and we'll figure it out, God. But Jesus said, I'm sending you a helper. A helper. Why? Because you need help. Tell your neighbor, you need help. Now, if that was your spouse, I know that felt good. Right? As we become capable and smarter and live longer and do more, the tendency and the temptation is to become more self-reliant instead of God-reliant, Holy Spirit-dependent, the helper, the greater one, the one who knows, the one who's already seen your tomorrow, the one who has power to help you to do what you can't do on your own. You see, ever since the Garden of Eden, man has been trying to do it on their own. Adam and Eve sinned. They were separated from God. They felt guilt, shame. So what did they do? They made for themselves coverings. God said, no, no, no. I'll cover you. I will clothe you. Man is always trying to figure ourselves out. And when we take God out of the equation, we take out the helper. Now, before Jesus came, God's people were governed and they related to God through something called the law. The law that came from God, but through Moses. And it was a system of rules and regulations, and it was perfect, it was good, it came from God. But the New Testament tells us that the law was our school teacher. It was like a course that led us to Christ. And what the law did is it showed us, you're not perfect. You can't reach God. You can't do enough to be perfect. And so the law showed us our weakness and it brought us to God. Now, unfortunately, some people missed that class. And they're still trying to be good enough, or they're still trying to attain, or when there is a problem, the first thing they do is call mama, get on the internet, instead of going to God, the helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, as I mentioned, the Holy Spirit was there, but the Holy Spirit anointed special people. People who had special assignments. And primarily, there were three groups of people that God anointed in the Old Testament. The prophet, the priest, and the king. And if we were just regular believers, followers of God, then we probably weren't going to be anointed like David or Saul. Or Ezekiel, and those people that could either speak for God or hear from God. And so we really recognized when we saw God on them. Remember when God anointed David for war? He came back and people were singing, oh, you've killed your 10,000s, right? But God made a statement through the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2 verse 28. He said, it will come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It means everybody. Not just the select few. Not just the ones with kind of big jobs and big assignments. But I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he begins to describe all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon my men servants and upon my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and people were saying, these people are drunk. What is going on with this, with these people that came from the upper room? God used Peter, and he quoted it, and he said, this, the Holy Spirit, what's happening, what you see, this is that which Joel prophesied about, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The day he was talking about, this is it. This is what you're seeing right now, is the Holy Spirit on everybody. And in the book of Acts, he did that over and over again in Ephesus, in this place, upon the Gentiles. So that when the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, the church at Jerusalem said, what's happening? The Gentiles? You mean non-Jews get the Holy Spirit? Exactly. All flesh. Tell your neighbor, you look like flesh to me. So, we need a helper. Jesus promised a helper, and he came. And he came. Now, when Jesus was with his disciples, all right, Jesus was anointed. Remember, when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And that's when he began to do great works, preach and heal and all the things that he did. But the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon the disciples. They needed help, but he hadn't come yet. But being with Jesus was awesome. Being able to see what they saw, to experience what they did. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the glory of God came down, and Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, can we just put some tents? I want to have it. This is going to be a campsite." And Peter made this statement. He said, "It is good to be here." And if you were with Jesus and you were one of his disciples and you were traveling, that was what you thought. Life is good right now. Right now. There were a couple times on my holiday where I just kind of, when we were together, and I just kind of paused and thought, you know, right now, life is good. But with Jesus, it was like that all the time. I mean, dead people raised up, storms went away, miracles happened, 5,000 people ate from a small boy's lunch. All these things happened. And so then Jesus didn't come to be physically on the earth forever. He came to go to the cross. He came to pour into his disciples. And so he began to explain to these guys, "I'm not going to be with you forever physically. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. And just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, I'm going to be dead for 3 days, but God's going to raise me from the dead." He began to prepare them, warn them. And they were not happy to hear this. In fact, Peter took him aside and rebuked him. How many of you know it's not a good idea to rebuke Jesus? And then Peter had to tell him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God." So this was bad news because Jesus was going away. But then he told them, "I'm going away, but something better is coming." John 14. Turn with me there. John 14. "And I will pray the Father," John 14 verse 16, "and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Now, was Jesus going to be with the disciples forever? No. He was with them for a short period of time. Then he was going. And he ascended to his Father. He wasn't there forever. He said, "But when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." So the Holy Spirit's not given to the world. He's given to the church. All right. "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus was with the disciples, right? Was he in the disciples? He wasn't. So imagine if you're one of the disciples and you, Jesus maybe looking the other way and you say, and you ask your friend, "Did he say in me? In me? God is going to come in me? The Holy Spirit? Are you kidding me? What is this about?" And that's why Jesus said this was better. Now, Jesus he described the Holy Spirit this way. He said, "Another helper. Another helper." And it's a Greek word called paraclete or parakletos, if it's more technical. But it means another one who's just like this one. Another one just like that one. How many times in your life has someone who has been maybe made such a difference to you, been such a blessing to you, but then they left? Maybe they passed away. Maybe physically they had to go. Maybe you stayed at school and they graduated. And you thought, "Well, I need to find another roommate. I need to find another business partner. I need to find another accountant. But I like that one so much. I don't want another one. I want one just like that one." You know what I'm saying? I know some people, if their spouse were to die or if there was a divorce, you know, they would want to upgrade. I'm going to get a blonde one this time. You know, my wife and I, we're going to live forever and ever. But if my wife went to heaven before me, I'd want another one just like her. I don't want anything different. And so Jesus was with the disciples and he said, I'm going, but I am going to send someone to you just like me. In the same way, in the same relationship that you had with me, I'm sending another helper, the paraclete, the one who will be called alongside. But he's not going to be different. He's not going to be strange. He's going to, if you know me, you're going to recognize him because he's going to speak of me. And the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. One. So he makes this promise, someone just like me. Let's go back, John chapter 16. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about in coming weeks, if you want to kind of get ahead, read John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Because that's where Jesus talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. But in John 16, 12, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, he, the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now notice in this passage that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he. He. Right? That's a personal pronoun. A personality. And unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we've referred to the Holy Spirit as it. You know, we kind of understand God the Father, Jesus. The Holy Spirit's just that kind of weird part that makes us do funny things. A friend of mine grew up in old-time Pentecost, and he said there was a lady in his church, and she would get excited, her right hand would start to shake. And one time she got up, got the microphone, and she began to testify. She said, don't tell me God's not in this place. What do you think that is? Now, I'm not saying God can't make your hand shake. Maybe he can or needs to do that from time to time. But the Holy Spirit is more than the person who makes you shake and speak in tongues. He's a helper. He's God inside of you. And he wants to make you into a different type of person. He wants to be the one that will help you reach God's plan and purpose for your life. Now, because he's a person, he's a he. He's a person, a personality. That means you can get to know him. That means you can understand him. It's not like just a subject in a book. He, God, the Holy Spirit, he has a personality. He can be grieved. All right? He can be listened to. He can be ignored. There's a quickening. All right? So he, the Spirit of truth, all right, he said that he will come and it will be better for you. Look at John 16 again. All right, let's go a few verses up. In verse 5 it says, but now I go away to him, the Father, who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Other translation says, it's better for you that I go. Now, wait a second. Jesus, there is no way it is better that you go. One of the things about Peter, you'll see, every time we see Peter as a fisherman, he's not a very good fisherman. Seems like he was a much better preacher and apostle than he was a fisherman. Right? He needed Jesus to help him catch fish. And so my life has been radically changed. My life is so wonderful. And you're telling me it's better for me that you go away. There's no way. But of course, He qualifies that. He explains that. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, another part of that word paraclete, it's one just like me. And it's the idea that he's going to come alongside of you to help. And that's why most of the time in the New Testament, you'll see the word paraclete is interpreted as helper. Helper. He's going to come to you. He's going to be with you. And he's not just going to be there just to be there. How many of you know there are some people that come into your life and they just kind of watch? You're working and they just kind of watch. Maybe they cheer you on, give you two thumbs up. But you're like, I'm kind of working here. And how many of you know there are other people in your life that when there's a need or you're working, they don't say a whole lot, but they just come alongside and they carry the load, right? They make life easier because they help you. They work with you. That's who the Holy Spirit is, but much, much more. Jesus, when he was with the disciples, sometimes Jesus would go away to pray, right? By himself. He wouldn't take his disciples with him. So when Jesus was physically on planet Earth, he could only be in one place at one time. But here's the thing. This afternoon, tonight, if you say, and this morning I was up early, just couldn't go back to sleep, and I just spent some time with the Lord. Oh, and the Holy Spirit, oh, such a sweet spirit of prayer, communion, and God was with me. But you know what? All over the world, God was with you and you and you. And as much as God's here at Miracle Life, he's in the church across the street and down the road and in other cities. God now, because of the Holy Spirit, he can be everywhere at one time. That's why it's better. Jesus slept, right? And you couldn't talk to him if he was sleeping. The Holy Spirit doesn't slumber or sleep. Amen. All right. So how does he help? Now, sometimes when people say, you know, if they look to the Lord, and it's a good thing to look to the Lord, to say, Lord, I need your help. David said, I look to the hills from whence come my help, the maker of heaven and earth. So we look to God for help. But sometimes when we look to God for help, sometimes what we kind of say is, God, do this for me. I'm just going to kind of sit down, and when I come back, you will have sorted this out. One of the things we see about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is the Bible said about Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit, that says that God worked with them. He worked with them, confirming his word that they preached. So they had a part and God had a part. Now, how many of you know we can't do God's part? But he will not do your part. We yield. We have a part to play. And in weeks to come, we're going to look more specifically at how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our life. The Bible says you can frustrate the grace of God. I don't want to do that. I want to yield. I don't want to be on full turbo power boost when it comes to working with the Holy Spirit in my life. He's called alongside to help us. The Bible says that God is looking over the whole earth for people whom he can work strong on their behalf. Now, God needs a yielded vessel. And when we do, he empowers us. And as we see the Holy Spirit for who he really is, he will be that to us in our life. He'll be our guide. He'll be the one that administers the grace of God. Amen. One of the things, and we'll close here, is that we already saw that Jesus said that he will be in you. And so when we give our hearts to Jesus, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell, to live inside every believer. Now, that's one of the reasons why Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And what he was saying was, he said, because they were sleeping around and sleeping with prostitutes and just making a mess of their life. And he said, don't you realize what you're doing? Don't you realize that the Holy Spirit is in you? And obviously, by their lifestyle, they were acting in a way that showed they didn't know the Holy Spirit lived inside of them. Now, it's not just sexual sin, but it's ignoring who the Holy Spirit is in our life. Amen? Ignoring that He is the helper and He's been called alongside to help us and to be aware of Him and to yield to Him. And so we want God not to say that to us. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us? I hope He would say to us, I can tell that you know. It's obvious that you are aware that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So let's understand Him. Let's enjoy His reality. And as someone who that I studied under, he's in heaven now, Kenneth Hagin, he said, we need to be God inside minded. God inside minded. God is not living in a church. He's not in a certain city. God lives on the inside of us. And so wherever we are, whatever we are facing, He is the greater one. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And so we need to be more focused on the greater one than the lesser one. How many of you know the demons and the devil would be the lesser one? And sometimes churches have 12-day conferences about the devil, and they forget to talk about the greater one. And I want us to take some time over the next few weeks to study who He is, the greater one. And again, not just so that we can say, well, that was interesting. I've got these notes now. No. It's to understand Him so that He can be that in our life. He will be the counselor, the comforter, the empowerer, the transformer, the corrector, the helper that God has sent Him to be. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it brings light, it brings clarity. But Father, it helps us to connect with You. Lord, when we hear Your word, faith comes. And Lord, I know, Lord, that one thing I have in common with every single person in this room is that we need Your help. We don't have what it takes to make it in this life, to be who You've called us to be, the change that needs to happen in our life, the healing, the equipping, the empowering, the guiding. Lord, this life was not meant to be lived without You. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome You in our hearts, in our lives. Be everything that You are in us. That as we look to You and Your word, as we study who You are, and we begin to yield to You, Father, I fully expect in my life and the life of every person here at Miracle Life that we'll experience the Holy Spirit like never before. Like never before. And Father, I thank You that that He is who You've sent to be our helper. And Father, because of that, there's hope. There's hope. And Lord, I pray right now for messed up lives and broken dreams. Lord, I pray for relationships that have been hurt and destroyed. Because of the Holy Spirit, there's help. Help is on its way. And we can hope. And we can believe that things can change and they will change. Not because we're smart. Not because we figured it out. Not because we can work so hard. But because the Holy Spirit, the greater one is on the inside of us. Father, for people who are making decisions and don't know which way to turn, Lord, they don't know what's going to happen in 3, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. And Lord, while our mind may be unfruitful and we don't know, Father, thank You that we can trust and rely on the greater one, the Holy Spirit of God, who will lead and guide us into the truth that we need for our life. We thank You for Him. We yield to Him. Thank You, Lord. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this place God wants to have a relationship with you. You're important to Him. You're special to Him. Jesus came for you, to die for you. And when He came, He took all of your sin, all the wrong that you've ever done, and He paid that price. He was punished in your place. And one of the great things is so that God can be real and near to you and be in you. You can know God today, every day of your life, and for all of eternity. And if you've come to this place and you don't know Jesus, you are not born again, you're not a follower of Jesus, you can be. You can be. When Jesus was here on the earth, He called the high and the low and everyone in between. People who were very religious and people who were prostitutes. And they became followers of His. They received forgiveness. They received a brand new life. And today, that life can be yours. You can be connected to the God who made you and loves you. Well, how does that happen? Well, I can't do it for you. I can't pray a prayer. It doesn't happen through infant baptism. It doesn't happen through going to a class. It happens when you receive Jesus. When you receive Him, you become a child of God. And if you've never done that, today is the day for you. If you're far away from Him, if you're a backslidden Christian, you can come home today. You can come home and receive new life and forgiveness. And right now, if God's dealing with your heart and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. I want to follow Him. I want a brand new life. So that God can do that in your life, I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer. And by doing so, your faith will open the door of your heart to let God come in. And you say, Pastor, I'm going to do that today. So that we can pray that prayer, I would ask you right now, wherever you are, simply raise up your hand. Raise it up so I can see it. I want to be able to pray with you. Thank you there in the back. God bless you. Yes, both of you. Yes, over here, ma'am. Yes. Over here, thank you, ma'am. If you're a backslidden Christian, it's time to come home. Yes, God bless you, ladies. Anyone else before we pray? You are important to God. You're important to God. Anyone else? All right. Can we all stand to our feet in the congregation? Would you do that with me? Please, nobody moving around. It's not time to get to your car or beat the traffic. But let's honor what God is doing. If you lifted up your hand, you say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I'd ask you right now just to take a step of faith. Grab your handbag, your Bible, whatever you brought with you, and come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to do a miracle in your life today. Amen. Just take a step. Take a step. I want to be able to shake your hand, look you in the eye, and pray this prayer with you. Amen. From over here, from over here. Can we give them a big hand as they're coming? Yes. Yes, yes. Wonderful. God bless you so much. So glad that you came. God bless you so much. Thanks for coming. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Somebody's been praying for you, right? Yeah, somebody's been praying for you. All right. God bless you. Yeah. What a wonderful way to start off this year. Now, the Bible makes this very clear that Jesus comes to live in us. And there are two things that we do. We believe in our heart who Jesus is and what God, that God raised Him from the dead. And then we confess with our mouth, we verbalize, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be in my life. All right? And so I want to lead you in a prayer. All right? And to confirmation of our faith. But obviously I can't believe for you. That's got to come from your own heart, right? And I believe you mean business. That's why you're here. So what I'd ask you to do is just go ahead and close your eyes. Close your eyes right now. And lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Because that's who we're talking to, God. And say this with me. Say, Father, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus for me. He died on the cross. And He took all of my sin. And you punished Him in my place. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I choose to follow you now. I leave sin. I leave my wrong things in my past, and I follow you now with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you live inside of me, that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.